So don't trust everything that you see discovered. They only discover and they're only classifying the main blocks of the DNA. And that itself is taking years. What do I mean by the main blocks? There are a lot of in-between things that they say, you know, just wasted space. But a few scientists are discovering that those little wasted things do make a lot of difference. So, but we don't have 10 million years. Jesus will come by then. So, just remember that not... And there are a lot of areas that scientists try to blame. Or certain times, people try to blame nature. See, there's a danger of saying nature. You know why? Because people say, I can't help being myself. I was born like that. So people began to blame their responsibilities and their sins on their born. And so I'm pointing to dangers here. You're leaning towards nature. Now, if nature is there, then let me ask this question. Can a person come and say, oh, I was born a criminal. From the time that I was in the womb, I was like Jacob. I was wrestling with my brother, twisting his arm and twisting his leg. You have it. He's saying yes to everything. So at what point can we punish them if they're just being themselves? So we need to classify the word nature. A good God cannot make bad things. So, when God designed some things, humans have the capacity to use it for evil. All the time. Although God never designed for evil. So when we say nature, we need to qualify good nature. Because otherwise God wouldn't be fair at the judgment seat. As God sits in judgment, and all the human beings come before Him in judgment, and God says, answer for your life. And the person stood up and say, nothing to answer, I'm just being myself. And God says, excuse? No, God wouldn't do that. We are responsible for our own lives. We have decisions to make. So obviously, if we are accountable, then God has not seeded evil in our nature. Now that's very hard for us sometimes to take, but everyone has the capacity born to do good. Born to do good with the giftings that God has for our life. However, in the process of nurture, it is possible to twist and turn it for evil. Or to be used by the devil. And that's exactly what the devil wants, because the devil cannot create. He can only steal and pervert. So he takes what God has given that is good and he tries to turn it into something evil. So we realize that every one of us, by spiritual, soul and physical nature, are what we are. Are what we are. But the nurture plays a part in the direction in which it is used for. And because nurture plays a play, when you look at the two in relationship, nature plays a role in who or what you are. But nurture plays a role in the direction you go. That means that even if you were to, well, I'm against it, but this is just for illustration's sake, right? Just to stretch your imagination. Even if you could take Albert Einstein's DNA or Abraham Lincoln's DNA and clone an Albert Einstein and an Abraham Lincoln with the exact genes, hoping that they will grow up to be another Abraham Lincoln and another Albert Einstein, nature may turn them to be something else. Nurture. You may give them all the capacity. Who knows? Instead of growing up to be an Abraham Lincoln, a modern Abraham Lincoln, he could grow up to be another you know, evil Frankenstein who had learned all the evil things and used the same capacity that that Abraham Lincoln had for evil. So we point to how much nurture plays a role. Now, if you look at the Bible carefully, aren't all the commandments and all the things that we are told in the Bible a lot to do with nurturing? What are Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments is telling us to create a right environment. That's all it does. Ten Commandments has never changed anybody's life. Ten Commandments has not made anybody a better person. Ten Commandments has not saved anyone. But what does it do? It creates a friendly environment for the good nurturing of the gifting of God. And all the other commandments of God that God gave to the nation of Israel, etc., that is in principle applied today, are giving us a proper environment to nurture the gifts that He has placed in our lives. That's all that He does. Now, when we realize the balance between nature and nurture, which is important, which is still a whole field of debate out there. Remember, up to now, the scientific issue has not been settled. But in the Bible, let me point it this way, if the Bible says that we are created before the foundation of the world, if the Bible says that we were all formed according to what God has for us, even when we were in our mother's womb, we cannot deny the fact that we are who we are, and our capacity to be what we are is based on nature, including the nature with spiritual nature, soul nature, and biological nature. We can't escape the conclusion. Just as we settle the question and egg story for you, you know, the chicken came first or the egg came first? Genesis says the chicken came first. That settles for us. Unless you don't believe the Bible, which is a different story, right? If you don't believe the Bible, then it's a different story. If you believe the Bible says the chicken came first. Settle. Right? God didn't make eggs. And then God made all the birds of the air. So that settled the question. Now, the Bible says we were created to be nature. But the Bible is balanced. The Bible says now, nurture it in the right direction. Nurture it in the right direction. Bring it to its full capacity. Because we are accountable for all the decisions we choose. We are accountable for that. And we will, in our development of these giftings, I point to two areas that we need to look at. Let's look at Jesus' life in the book of Luke. Gospel of Luke. And Luke chapter 3. Chapter 4. We look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now we know that Jesus has to grow in spiritual stature. So Jesus had a growing process. He has to nurture the growing process. Now the growing part is important. Because if you are growing a tomato plant or tree, do you realize that any damage you do to it will continue the direction of the damage as the plant grows? If you make the plant lean on one side, as an adult plant is still leaning on one side, you push it to lean on the other side, either you change the whole plant and uproot it, or you try to push it to the other side, it will go the other side, but you will have a crooked plant. So you can imagine how important the growing process is. So Jesus grew when He was 30 years of age. He went to be baptized by John. And when He was baptized, as He came out of the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon Him and He was filled with the Spirit. The Bible says He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, note those words. He was filled with the Spirit. And then when you look He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted and tested of the devil. Then in verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Notice there's a difference. There is a difference, my friends. There is a difference between verse 1 and verse 14. Verse 1, he was filled with the Spirit. He didn't do any miracles. He didn't do anything. He just went into the wilderness and he was tested, tried and tempted. When he came out of the wilderness, he had overcome Satan, overcome the temptation, overcome every testing. He came out. The Bible says he was filled with dunamis. That's a Greek word. He was filled with power. And then the miracles started happening. And I will bring forth before you this identification of phrase. We always use the word filled with the Spirit and filled with power synonymously. We put them as equal. So you say, oh, you're filled with the Spirit, you must be filled with power. We take it as to be the same thing because sometimes the Bible seems to show them to be the same. For example, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8. Then in Acts 2 verse 4, when the Spirit came down, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. Consequently, they demonstrated power. So we always assume that being filled with the Spirit and being filled with power is the same thing. For us, the phrases are synonyms. Equal. If they are equal, then my question is, why does the Bible use phrases like Acts chapter 6 and he describes certain people that they seem to be filled with something else besides the Spirit and he uses special phrases for them like Stephen and like Philip. Look at verse 8 in Acts 6 verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power. That's my question. If filling with the Spirit is equal to being filled with power, then why does the Bible separate Stephen from the other seven deacons? In verse 3, all the seven deacons must be good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. It never said they need to be full of power. But of the seven of them, particularly one of them, and later Philip too, in verse 8, it says Stephen was full of faith and full of power. Now my question here is being filled with the Spirit and being full of faith and power the same thing? If your answer is yes, it's the same thing, then does it imply that the other six are doing the same thing? And since the others are not doing the same thing, and since it's particularly only single out, point, look at this. If the Bible particularly single out Stephen to be full of power, I assume that the others were not full of power, although they were full of the Spirit. Safe assumption. Now let me give a general things into God's Word. Do you notice, of all the prophets in the Old Testament, every single prophet have to be full of the Holy Spirit in some way, at least upon them, in the Old Testament sense. They have to have a fullness of the Spirit to operate as a prophet or as a king or whatever capacity that they had. But not all the prophets were able to do, were doing signs and wonders. Jeremiah never do any signs and wonders except for one particular incident. Moses did. Elijah did. Elisha did. Isaiah, except for that one particular incident, never really had tremendous healings demonstrated. When we talk about healing, miracles, who do you think about in the Old Testament? Moses, Elijah, Elisha, correct. Are you saying that they are filled with a different type of the area of the Spirit from the others, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel?